call to order this regular meeting of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Rangel, Alaska on February 9th, 2016 at 7 p.m. The Pledge of Allegiance this evening will be led by Assemblymember Becky Rooney, after which the invocation will be given by Karen Moore.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for giving me the privilege to represent the Baha'i faith in reading prayer. I'm very happy to be here. O thou merciful God, O thou who art mighty and powerful, O thou most kind Father, these servants have gathered together, turning to thee, supplicating thy threshold, desiring thine endless bounties from thy great assurance. They have no purpose save thy good pleasure. They have no intention save service to the world of humanity. O God, make this assemblage radiant. Make the hearts merciful. Confer the bounties of the Holy Spirit. Endow them with a power from heaven. Bless them with heavenly minds. Increase their sincerity, so that with all humility and contrition, they may turn to thy kingdom and be occupied with service to the world of humanity. May each one become a radiant candle. May each one become a brilliant star. May each one become beautiful in color and redolent of fragrance in the kingdom of God. O kind Father, confer thy blessings. Consider not our shortcomings. Shelter us under thy protection. Remember not our sins. Heal us with thy mercy. We are weak, thou art mighty. We are poor, thou art rich. We are sick, thou art the physician. We are needy, thou art most generous. O God, endow us with thy providence. Thou art the powerful. Thou art the giver. Thou art the beneficent. This prayer was written by Abdul Baha, son of Baha'u'llah, the prophet founder of the Baha'i faith.
Thank you.
Thanks, Karen.
We do have a presentation this evening by Mr. Neil Niesheim, is that correct? From the Alaska court system.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure and an honor to be with you this evening. I represent the Alaska court system, and I ask to be present tonight for a couple of reasons. First of which is that we had an incident in the Winter Court location not too long ago where we were in negotiations with the lease, and information was presented to the city and then out to the public, and kind of made us look like a bad guy. And so I wanted to make sure that the information that you received came straight from the horse's mouth. And then second, and kind of dovetailing on that, there's a couple of issues where the court system and the city disagree on. And since you are the governing body that controls the funding, it's going to require some action on your part. So I figured you'd at least hear what the court system thinks should happen with regards to the situation. I want to talk just briefly, and I promised your city clerk that I would keep my comments to about 10 minutes or less. But I wanted to give you a brief overview in terms of the court's role in relationship to the public safety building, how long we've been there, how much we paid, court filings, and just sort of historical aspect of it, and then get into the lease announcement in terms of what the court system thinks we should be paying with the new lease, and then talk just briefly about the disagreements that we have. The public safety building, as you probably know, was built in 1985. Back in that time, there were 901 case filings at the Rangel Court. You had quite a booming economy back then. You had the sawmill here, you had the fishing was pretty robust. And over the course of time, back in 2004, those case filings went from 901 down to 2000, and in 2004 they went to 277. And then in 2014, they dropped down to 198. If you know anything about regression analysis, which is why you take a look at old data and predict what the future is going to be, case filings for Rangel appear that they're going to continue to go downhill. Reason for the decrease, obviously, is because they lost the sawmill. Not only that, but the median age in Rangel is now 52 years old. And let's face it, there are too many 50-year-olds that cannot run the police. And then crime is down statewide as well, and that's just everywhere. That's just the way it's going to be. In terms of operating expenses, we spend roughly $300,000 a year to keep the Wrangell Courthouse up and operating. It's roughly $200,000 for wages and benefits. Currently, we pay $70,000 a year in rent. We spend an additional $10,000 for data technology and phones, and then we spend another $10,000 on miscellaneous expenses, bringing judges into town, bringing training judges into town, bringing trainers back into town, and just a number of things. With regards to the lease, as I mentioned, we pay roughly $70,000 a year. What we'd like to see with the new lease, and we have a tentative agreement whereby we do a 5-year lease and then 5 1-year options, so a total of 10 years. The reason we're doing 10 years is because based upon the letter we received from the City of Wrangell back in 1996, they had a 30-year cap on the lifespan of that public safety building. So with that being 10 years away, we figured a 10-year lease would be appropriate. Instead of paying $70,000 a year, we think we should be paying $1.65 a square foot instead of $1.74, which is what we're paying now. And that would make the annual lease $61,875. We make that assumption on a couple things, primarily because when the governor submitted his budget proposal, it was with the assumption that oil was going to be $50 a barrel. As you all know, that's right around the $27 to $30 range. And I know that my administrative office is going to ask me whether they make some cuts. This is just one part of that. You may or may not know that starting July 1st, all court employees are going to be required to take an additional 4.5% pay cut. Courts are going to be closed noon every Friday until we get out of this financial mess. So we think that $61,875 is appropriate. It's right smack in the middle with regards to what we pay other locations. Here in Southeast Alaska, there are 12 court locations, starting all the way up in Yakutat and the other way down to Ketchikan. And so $1.65 a square foot is right smack in the middle. With regards to the disagreement, we were hoping to have a little addition to the court system in terms of a remodel. We went through the City of Wrangell, and they were going to pick up the design cost and then roll that into the lease, the brand new lease. Turns out that estimates that came back were just way too high, and we scrapped the whole project. So now we're dealing with a $61,000 bill, whereby we're in disagreement in terms of how much who should pay what. The court system indicated that we'd be more than willing to pay $41,600 for the design fee, and then we'd also contribute toward the construction estimate of $4,800, and then that would bring the total amount to $46,400 that the court would pay, and then we would be asking the City of Wrangell to pay the additional $15,000. In terms of justifying that $13,000 or $15,000, I'd like to say a couple of things. First, the lease requires that the carpet and paint happen every 5 years. The painting has been very limited. The carpet has never been replaced. The lease also requires that the carpet have annual cleaning. And our records indicate that the last carpet cleaning we received was back in 2008. The windows are supposed to be required every 6 months for interior and annually for exterior. And our records indicate that they're last cleaned back in 2001. And in fact, if you go to the court building now and walk back to our space, you'll see a nice level of mold growing. Looks like little trees. So it's long overdue for cleaning. But the main thing is the carpet cleaning. And if the city had replaced the carpet as the lease had required every 5 years, and then they replaced 5 times, I imagine that carpet replacement would run in the neighborhood of $10,000 to $15,000 each time. So that easily makes up the difference for that $15,000 in the design fee. I am running right near my time of when I promised the city clerk. I think I'll stop now. If you have any questions, I'd more than be happy to entertain them. Otherwise, your city manager will certainly give you the city side of how the negotiations went, as well as the language and the extensions on the lease.
Anyone have any questions?
Well, my only question would be, if the carpet was such an issue, why is it being raised all these years later? I mean,
it's actually been ongoing. We've made the request for the carpet to be replaced several times, and we have letters showing that.
Okay.
It's just been one of those things where the city doesn't have indicated that they haven't had any money. I can let you know that over the course of the lease, we've reduced our footprint. When we first opened there, we had about 7,000 square feet. Now we have between 3,000 and 3,500 square feet. But over the course of the lease, we've paid the city of Wrangell nearly $2.2 million. And we'd like to see some of that back.
Sorry, you would like to see a reimbursement of the previous?
Not at all. What
okay.
I'd like to see is the $15,000 discrepancy we picked up by the city of Wrangell. We'll pay for that $48,000 or $46,800. And that's $61,000. And then the city of Wrangell should pick up the rest. Using the justification that the carpet should have been replaced many times over. And never was.
Thank you.
Anything further?
Thank you.
Roll call, please.
Assembly members Blake?
Here.
Prasanka?
Here.
Rooney?
Here.
Decker? Powell?
Here.
Mitchell?
Here.
And Mayor Jack?
Here. Item 3, amendments to the agenda. Anyone have any amendments? Item 4, conflict of interest. Is there any conflict of interest? Item 5, consent agenda.
Move to approve those agenda items listed under the consent agenda and those marked with an asterisk, items 6A and 7A.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 8, borough manager's report.
Other than my written report, I'll keep it short. Just a couple comments on the court. We did meet today and we discussed that. I think we'll be able to come to some conclusion there. I don't see a problem, but at the present time, the lease and the various attachments that were sent to us are doing our normal due diligence and review by the attorney and by staff. There's issues there that each staff member that has to do different things is reviewing that. And I think we will also sit down with the court and the carpet thing. I think that has been an ongoing thing. In the bid that we put out to do this remodel, part of that was to do the carpet. And then, of course, the bids were thrown out because they were too high. So we still plan to do that. But some of the other things, we'll sit down with them, go through the building before we sign the lease or anything, just to see what their concerns are and what needs to be done. But we'll be bringing something back to the assembly for our recommended approval. And prior to that, we will hopefully resolve the differences between us so that when we do bring it back, both sides are in agreement to whatever we're gonna do. But anyway, that's kind of where we're at. I don't foresee any issue with it. I think we'll be able to resolve it. But we've gotta go through our kind of due diligence, so.
Go ahead.
Jeff, with those, stark numbers the gentleman presented to us. Are we at risk of losing our court facility? Is that at the end of 5 years, as these numbers go down, is there other communities that operate with less cases than we are?
He would have to tell me that. I don't know. I know a lot of the other places are small, like Wrangell, and that's something I'm sure at the state level, as they look at tightening the budget strings for different things that the state does, I think anything and everything could be on the table in the future. So, but I certainly wouldn't know that answer.
Okay. I just would like to say that I always say this, but we need to lobby and we need to work with folks, whether it was our social worker we lost to Petersburg or probation officer that we lost to Ketchikan. We need to fight for everybody, and I really hope that we can continue a great relationship with the court system and look at creative ways, if we have low case numbers, creative ways of improving that situation. So I'd hate to lose
improve
it.
Improve the case numbers?
Yeah. Maybe we need to get Myers-Chuck to chip in a bit with some crime, because we are not doing a good job. I'm the median age in here. That's sad.
I'll do my best on that.
That's what happens when you're voted the safest community.
That's right.
Just have to get Bruce to go out and go to work.
Right.
But part of my report also is that we were voted the safest community in Alaska to live in. So
not a bad thing, and certainly the age factor. Wrangell's also one of the oldest. And like he said, past 8 o'clock at night, nobody's on the street, so that's when crime happens, so. Anyway. But anyway, unless someone has questions, that's about it.
Any questions? Thank you. Borough Clerk's file.
Other than what's in my report, I don't have anything.
Mayor.
Yes.
It appears that Southeast Conference slots are filled, and I was talking to Kim about this earlier, and this has to do with her Conference that's on her report. This is why I'm bringing it up now. And I expressed an interest to go if the city would pay my entrance fees and I would pay my travel. And Kim said that she might have that in her budget, so I just wanted to see if there was any issue with that. Since it is big transportation issues, and that's what I'm representing in AML as well.
Right.
There is a lot of Alaska Marine Highway discussion next month at Southeast Conference, and I can find the money in my budget.
I think that'd be a good thing, yes. We're certainly going to lose our fair session.
Yeah.
So, Mayor.
Yeah.
Speaking of, did everybody read the McDowell Group's survey this came out with?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Looked good to me.
I like the numbers that came out of it.
Any further questions or anything? Item 10, Mayor Assembly Reports and Appointments. Does any Assembly member have any report?
SEPA is meeting starting on Thursday at 1 o'clock, and then again on Friday, 9 o'clock until 2 o'clock. We're usually over in the Nolan Center here, so folks can drop by and check out what's going on there. And if anybody can't make it and wants to, we have the capacity for phone-in, so that is also an option for folks.
Unfortunately, I have a class right at
that time.
Yeah.
We'll miss
right
you.
Right over lunchtime.
There you go.
But thank you. Anything further?
I attended Steve's thing on his search dogs the other night, and I don't know if anybody else was there, but it was very interesting, and just thought I'd say you did a good job. Yeah, it was a very interesting thing.
Okay, item 10B, appointments to fill the vacancies on various city boards, committees, and commissions. We have no letters of interest for several positions. One Planning and Zoning Commission, one on the Economic Development Committee, and two on the Nolan Center, Nolan Museum Civic Center Board. And if anyone in the audience or in the listening audience has an interest, be sure and send a letter, please.
Or an email.
In the meantime, continue to advertise for that. And we also have a vacancy on the Wrangell Medical Center Board for the unexpired term ending October 2016, and we have no letters of interest for that. So we'll continue with that. Next item is persons to be heard. This is the opportunity for any member of the audience to speak on an item that is on the agenda. When the agenda item comes up, you will not have an opportunity to speak on it at that time unless a member of the assembly has a specific question regarding this item. In other words, this is your opportunity to speak. We have one person, David Griffin, the Trust Land Office.
Yeah, I wasn't under the understanding that if I was to speak, it was about an agenda item. So I thought that was like just open mic. But I just wanted to say hi.
It is.
It is. Yeah, you can come up.
It is. You come up to podium and state your name, address, and say what you have to say.
I'm sorry. I was thinking that I had to speak specific to.
And you don't.
No.
Good. So hello, everybody. I came to town. I got here today. I'll be here till Friday morning. And I'm with the Trust Land Office. And I was recently hired about 4 months ago as a Southeast Area Manager. So, and we've got a lot of land here in Wrangell. And this is like the second Southeast trip I've done, based in Anchorage. First one was in Yakutat. And over the next year, I'll be trying to hit up most of the communities where we've got a lot of land and some potential projects going on. And I just wanted to introduce myself, hand out some cards so that you guys have my contact information if you guys got questions. I don't have like any agenda tonight. This is just coincidence. I was here. You guys are having a meeting. I thought I would just stop by. And I can speak real quick. I got a little fact sheet. I can't speak to what the trust is, just to kind of reiterate some basic understanding. So what is the Trust Land Office? The Trust Land Office, or TLO, is a unit attached to the Department of Natural Resources that is specifically responsible for managing the land and other natural resources owned by the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. We're an agent on behalf of the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, who actually owns this land. And then we're based, because we're a state corporation, we're based in DNR. So it's one of these kind of quasi-state agencies. Our purpose, we generate revenue by leasing and selling land, real estate investment and development, commercial timber sales, mineral exploration and production, coal, oil, and gas exploration and development, and sand, gravel, and rock sales. What is the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority? The trust is a state corporation that administers the Alaska Mental Health Trust, a perpetual trust managed for the benefit of people with mental illness, developmental disabilities, chronic alcoholism, and other substance-related disorders, Alzheimer's disease and related dementia, traumatic brain injury. The trust operates like a private foundation, using its resources to ensure that Alaska has a comprehensive integrated mental health program. The trust budgets approximately $26 million annually to support services and programs for trust beneficiaries. Why does the trust own land? Prior to statehood, Alaska did not have a mental health system. Individuals with a mental disability, such as a mental illness, Down syndrome, dementia, or chronic alcoholism, could be charged as an, quote, insane person at large, unquote, and sent by the federal government to a mental hospital in Oregon. In 1956, Congress passed the Alaska Mental Health Enabling Act, entitling the territory of Alaska to select 1 million acres of federal land to be used for revenue generation to support mental health services after Alaska became a state. What is the TLO's stewardship role? In addition to revenue generation, the Trust Land Office is charged with managing trust lands prudently, efficiently, and with accountability to the trust and its beneficiaries. The TLO carries out its stewardship role by managing and protecting the inherent value of the trust's real property portfolio for today's development opportunities and into perpetuity. Preservation responsibilities include evaluating and monitoring a long-term asset management strategy, restoration or reclamation projects, conservation easements, and trespass access controls. So there's approximately 1 million acres of trust land throughout the state of Alaska. It's broken up into three regions, northern, south central, and southeast. Each region has a manager. I'm the manager for southeast. There's approximately 240,000 acres that we look after in southeast, all the way from Yakutat, Ains, Skagway, Petersburg, Juneau, Wrangell, Prince of Wales, Hollis area, Sitka. So it's a pretty monumental effort to look after all this land. So we own what's considered fee owner partnerships of service and subsurface. In some cases, we own just subsurface. So, anyway, here's a little information sheet I'll leave to you guys. So.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I got a question.
Yeah, sure.
So, it's been brought to my attention a couple different times in the last couple of years that there's been signs put up on mental health land that says no trapping and no fishing and that kind of stuff. Are those signs, or is that something that's normally done, or is that something that was just...
It's, I mean, technically, there's no trapping or fishing or hunting on trust land. Folks can talk to us to get permits. If somebody wants to just go out and do have day use activity, go hiking, that's not a big deal. But if there's some sort of a resource that's being extracted, then we have to technically issue a permit and license.
Okay.
It's not realistic considering how much land we have, so we put up signs just to remind people.
Okay.
But we issue, or me in particular, the way we're kind of set up at present is we have a land section, we have a timber resource, forest products section, we have mineral energies section, and we have commercial real estate. And we have our administrative staff. There's about 18 of us total.
Okay.
And so if somebody wanted to, say, get a permit to develop a site for a rock quarry, then they would work with the mineral energy section to get a permit. If somebody wanted to, like, say, for instance, the city of Wrangell wanted to build a hiking trail, and it made sense and we were all in agreement, then you'd work with me and we'd issue a public access easement. And we've done it in Sitka. Sitka's got has a pretty extensive trail system and we recently worked with them. If somebody wants to buy property, we do negotiated sales, but our ultimate goal is to generate revenue, just like somebody in private sector. So we'll appraise property, we'll come up with an appraised value, and we typically hope to make 20 to 30% of that appraised value for the sale. We do have a land sale program, a competitive program where people can bid different properties. We have a website you guys can check out if you're interested on what properties are coming up. We are pretty stocked right now. We have about a 3 to 5 year inventory of property that we're looking at. And we typically try to generate in our land sales through the competitive land sale program about $1 to $1.5 million annually.
Okay.
So, feel free to be in touch if you have any questions. Check out our website, etc. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 12, unfinished business. In accordance with Wrangell Municipal Code 3.05.100C, written notification was given of a motion for reconsideration of the vote that was taken by the Assembly at the regular Assembly meeting held January 26, 2016 on the following motion that was adopted on Agenda Item 13A, Contract Zone Request, to approve a contract zone for the light industrial use of a transportation office, storage and equipment maintenance area on a portion of Lot A2, Torgerson-Smith subdivision, with the following conditions to be added to the contract. 1, planning and zoning review and approval of the site plan, and 2, 25-foot minimum greenbelt buffers on a highway and adjacent properties unless planning and zoning determines that a 50-foot minimum greenbelt buffer is required adjacent to Lot B after planning and zoning has reviewed the site plan, and to have the final plan, after planning and zoning is approved, come back to the Assembly for final approval, and 3, lighting that will not affect adjacent neighbors.
I'm calling up the motion for reconsideration made and seconded on January 28, 2016 to reconsider the vote that was taken by the Assembly at the regular Assembly meeting held January 26, 2016 on the following motion that was adopted on Agenda Item 13A, Contract Zone Request. to approve a contract zone for the light industrial use of transportation office, storage, and equipment maintenance area on a portion of Lot A2, Torgerson Smith subdivision, with the following conditions to be added to the contract. One, planning and zoning review and approve the site plan, and two, 25-foot minimum greenbelt buffers on the highway and adjacent properties, unless planning and zoning determines that a 50-foot minimum greenbelt buffer is required adjacent to Lot B, after planning and zoning has reviewed the site plan, and to have the final plan, after planning and zoning has approved, come back to the Assembly for final approval, and three, lighting that will not affect adjacent neighbors.
I'll second. Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Okay, I would like to amend. Can I do an amend, or do we just completely revoke that? This is where I'm confused right now.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded, so you can make an amendment.
Okay, I would like to amend the original motion to state that a 25-foot minimum green belt be applied to all adjacent properties. So we currently have the three sides. I want to do four sides. And further, that condition one, planning and zoning review and approve the site plan, that if the process is completed from planning and zoning's, if their process is complete as it was sent to us originally, then we would be sending this back in the completed form. So if there was no further review to be conducted, if we had approved this at our original meeting, then I don't want them to have to return to an approval on it. So I would strike planning and zoning review and approve the site plan.
Okay, so you don't want
them... Do we have to vote on whether to reconsider it or not first?
Yeah, you do. Sorry.
Okay, let's go there first.
Okay.
Back up.
Discussion on whether or not to bring it up for reconsideration.
Sorry about that.
Poll vote, please.
Assemblymembers Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prusanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes.
What I just said.
Okay.
Kim, was that clear? Because I was sort of striking and adding. Okay, so the new motion would simply read, to approve a contract zone for light industrial use of transportation office, storage, and equipment maintenance area on a portion of Lot A2, Torgerson Smith subdivision, with the following conditions to be added to the contract. A 25-foot minimum greenbelt buffer on highway and adjacent properties, and lighting that will not affect adjacent neighbors.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the motion?
I do.
Yes.
I would like to know how Bruce feels about this. We have another. Is it? Can I ask him to get up? And,
sure.
Bruce, would you like to get up and express your? I know you've got the property next to it, and so we're.
I think it's inevitable what's going to come down, 25 foot and all that. So that I really wasn't going to come up and make any more waves than what's already been done. Currently, though. This new thing that just blindsided me, not going back to planning and zoning, not coming back to you for the final site plan, I don't know if that's legal under the municipal code. Because currently, as it is, it's not a complete application. There's a lot of stuff that's unknown. There's no idea where the item is going to be on the lot. There's no site plan done. It fails to meet the elements under the contract zone as it is. And I think that is why it has to go back to planning and zoning and back to the council. For final approval as it is.
Bruce, question, would that not take place during the building permit process as well, that they would have to place a site plan in front of whatever body, and I'm not sure if it's planning and zoning, but would that not happen at that point? No, it doesn't, Jeff.
It just goes to the building official, and they would either approve it based on setbacks and that they met the setbacks and zoning requirements to do with the contract. And
Well, because the original motion came forward to us, if I'm correct, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I thought the original motion never came back with any kind of back and forth between us. It was 50 foot, everything needed to be stored in a building. And I don't remember the original recommendation from planning and zoning including that it had to go back to them.
In the code 2077020, it does say that section D, a detailed site plan which shall include the location of improvements and provisions for off-street parking spaces such. I don't know if maybe that's what you're speaking of. This is what was part of the initiation.
Yeah, 2077020, which is looks like item 10, it's way back in 12 here. It says that a petition shall include the following, and part of that is dimension, square feet, and height of improvements, a detailed site plan, which shall include location improvements and provisions for off-street parking spaces, unloading and unloading spaces. And I don't see where that's been met yet in the application process or have been available for a review. You know, and if what they say is accurate, where they really want to build on the south side next to their current storage building, I think all this is a moot point anyways. I really do. But until I see that, I really have no idea what's before us.
I will profess my ignorance on the you know, what our legislation currently says. So if that's what it has to be, then I don't want, you know, obviously I'm not going to make a motion that's going to fly in the current bylaws. So if that needs to be, you know, we can leave, I can make an amendment to, a further amendment to have planning and zoning review and approved site plan as per current regulations.
Yeah, and I guess at this point, the other point I don't know is it looks like you're approving a contract zone, yet you don't have the information. I don't really know how that works. Does that really tie your hands later on the site plan review?
Well, it was brought forward to us to approve a contract with this.
Sure.
And so planning and zoning raised it to our level to say, go ahead and approve or disapprove or change this as you see fit. So in essence, I believe it's come to us for approval.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's more like a tentative approval so they can get the work done that they need to get done and then come with the final site plan as necessary.
Well, I think this was brought to the assembly kind of premature, quite frankly. And I think it should go back to planning and zoning and have them do their due diligence with the site plan and everything, and then it come back to the assembly for approval.
And I can understand where WCA is at. I think the storage lot that's being built on next there had the same issue. Whereas before they really go in and invest the money necessary, they want at least to have a tentative approval from the city to say, hey, you have the blessing to go with it as long as it meets the parameters. And I think that's really what, in essence, they're looking for. Is that basically a tentative, yes, you've got a blessing, let's make it fit, and we're good to go. I don't think they want to invest all that money without at least some idea that they can get one.
No, I can certainly go with that, yeah.
Part of the reason I think planning and zoning sent it to us to begin with is they were having problems getting a quorum based on conflicts of interest and being short board members and that kind of thing. Is it possible to have it be brought back here instead of sending it back down to them?
Well, I think it should, if it's at all possible, it should go back to them. Ultimately, this body has the authority to do what we need to do. Whether if they can't make a quorum, then we have the, not only the authority but the responsibility to act.
Mayor.
Yes.
So I got a question, Kim. So basically, what we're looking at is. And I'd appreciate it if I could talk to Bill for a second. We're looking at is no matter what, for our code, that this has to go back for approval of the site. Okay? So we understand that. Bill, is what we're doing here tonight, and if it's okay with Bruce too, by doing the 25-foot minimum all the way around, is this what you're trying to look for? Is you're looking for that kind of approval?
That, yeah, we're looking for that type of approval, but we're also trying to look for some sort of approval to move forward here. You know, we're sort of coming to a
okay, so,
point here.
So my question is if this does get voted on and passed for approval of the site plan and the 25-foot buffer all around. Is that what we're trying to do? Is that what you're trying to look for? I mean, because no matter what, by our municipal code, it sounds like it has to go back for approval of the site anyways.
Kind of looks like it. I was just reading it too.
Yes.
Yeah, so it kind of looks like to me that no matter what I'm looking for or not, it's going to have to go back.
Okay, so, well, then, like Mayor Jackson said, that if it does go back and you guys don't get a quorum, for lack of quorum, if you don't get a vote or stuff, then I would like to see it come right back to us if they're not, if it's just going to get delayed because they're not getting a quorum.
Exactly.
I think that's appropriate, yes.
I guess the only question I would have, too, in the municipal code is a detailed site plan. I mean, what is that? I mean, do we have to go have an engineer give us a detailed site plan as far as what we're going to build there?
I would think that that's something you should talk to Carol about. Okay. That's a planning and zoning question. But it's my understanding that this motion, the action by the assembly is to approve the contract zone with these stipulations. Then it goes back to planning and zoning after the site plan has been done for their approval. If they don't approve it, then it's a whole nother ball of wax. But I mean, and then after approval by planning and zoning, it doesn't come back to the assembly.
If planning and zoning approves the site plan, then it's a done deal.
It's done.
Right. It doesn't have to come to us.
I mean, what I'm thinking is that if planning and zoning does not approve the, then it would probably come here for the Board of Adjustment.
Or they can't.
Because that would be an appeal. Mm-hmm.
Then it should come back. Mm-hmm.
So if the assembly approves this tonight, then you're done for now. And then as long as planning and zoning takes a look at the site plan and approves it, then it's a done deal.
Okay. So.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Any other questions?
Only so much as my motion to add back in planning and zoning review and approval of the site plan didn't have a seconder. I don't think, just as a point of order.
I don't think I need one because you made that motion as long as the seconder agrees.
I do.
Okay, thank you.
No further discussion? Poll vote, please.
Okay, this is on the amendment. Assemblymembers Blake?
Yes.
Persanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Now, we have to vote on the original motion now.
As amended.
As amended. Any discussion on that? No. Poll vote, please.
Assemblymembers Persanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. That's all old business. New business, approval of an amendment to the professional services contract for Morris Engineering Group, LLC, for the Wrangell City Dock electrical upgrades design.
Move to approve amendment number one of the professional services contract between the City and Borough of Wrangell and Morris Engineering Group, LLC, in the amount of $9,000 to be paid from the State of Alaska DCCED grants for the Wrangell City Dock Rehabilitations Project.
Second.
Motion second. Any discussion? Bobo, you have
just a real quick thing. There's some original, the Assembly passed original an agreement with this company to do the electrical engineering out there. And then as we move forward, there was discussions that if we upgraded that, it would be the possibility of providing power to larger ships that may want to moor there for a longer period of time, ferry or, you know, some other big ship like that that may want to, it's too big for a marine center, but might want to tie there and do work. So that's what this is about, is for the upgraded electrical, more than we've had before. And it will be put in there as an alternate in case we don't have enough money. But right now, it looks like within the grant money we have, we'll be able to do this.
Anything further? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Persanka?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Attorney file, there is none. Executive session, we have none. So adjournment at 7:45 p.m.